you take your Bibles and stand, we're going to go back to the Psalms and go to Psalms chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities, their memorial is perished with them. For the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer, of them that hate me. Thou that liftest up me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgments which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Hagoyan, or meditation. Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. You say amen to God's word, you may be seated. I had originally wanted to go a different way. I had prepared my message and I had gotten it all ready. And there's just been if I could put it simply, a fire burning in my soul. Amen. Here lately, there's been a lot going on in this world. A lot. There's been a lot of injustices going on as well. I was reading through the Psalms and just not content with my message. It just did not burn in my soul like I wanted it to. I went to prayer about it, and reading in the Psalms, this psalm stuck out to me. So by the Lord's grace, I would like to just expound on it verse by verse, go through it with the Lord's help. We'll begin in verse 1 and verse 2. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. First thing in this psalm, we must always let praises ring to God and never be ashamed of Him. In this world, we will come up against opposition over and over again. Men will always seek to blot out the name of God. Until He comes back, this is the way it will be. Therefore, His people must stand firm in their praise toward His name. Not just standing firm in His truth, but stand firm in praise as well. It is the desire of wicked men to blot out praise towards God and to the uplifting of God's name. It is the duty of His people, therefore, to fight against these men and to stand in praise whenever there is an opportunity. Let praises ring from our mouth towards our God. Verse 3 and then through 6. When mine enemies are turned back, They shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. From these group of verses, we can learn one major factor, that the end of all evil is destruction. It says, thou hast maintained my right and my cause. This is a psalm of David, which he gave to the musicians. And we know that David stood upon God's word. This is his right and his cause, that he stood upon the foundation of God's word. Therefore, he was preserved. But the wicked, the heathen, the Lord has rebuked. He has destroyed them and put their name out forever and ever. We must never forget, even though in this world sometimes it looks like the wicked triumph, their end will be destruction. They will always come to naught. Their ways and their workings are vain. There is no hope in them. They will be destroyed, and their name shall forever be blotted out on this earth. In the millennial reign, every wicked thing will be taken away. The Lord's name will be put on high. The new Jerusalem to come, no wicked thing shall enter. There will never be a memorial to wicked men. It says that in verse 6, their memorial is perished with them. There will not be remembrance of them. Their workings shall not stand. The monuments they have built to themselves, the ideologies and the wicked ideas that they build, they will always go down to destruction. And they will forever be forgotten. Verses 7 through 8. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. From this we learn the Lord shall endure forever and shall always sit in righteous judgment. Not only will the Lord endure forever, but he shall always sit in righteous judgment. We can always go to God for righteous dealings. He will never turn the other way. Righteousness will always be his final word. And we can be guaranteed of this. Through his word, it gives us the promise that God shall not change. His righteous judgments were from history to now. And therefore, we can know that from now on, they will always be righteous. Verse 9. The Lord will be a refuge to the oppressed. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. The Lord will always hide those who seek to do his will from the enemy. He will always preserve them and keep them through it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We have this promise. He will always keep his people. When the world gets darker and darker as it is getting, we can know this. We will survive. We will prevail over it. We have this hope through Jesus Christ. It is not in men alone. It is not in the leaders of a group. It is not in the leaders of this religion even. It is in Jesus Christ alone. This is our hope, Jesus Christ. Verse 10, those that know him and his power will trust him. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. If you truly know God, you can do nothing but trust him. You can do nothing but put your all in him. If you truly know his character and his will, you will always fall into his arms and trust. This is the God we serve. When we get to know him more, the more we trust him. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. You read more of the word, you hear more of his will and his ways, you have more faith in him. It's that simple. Amen. We build up on our faith as we learn more of our God. Verse 11. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. We are as the people of God, to stand as a beacon and declare the doings of God. As we see this world go down further and further, it is a great opportunity to proclaim the workings of our Lord. When the world gets darker, it is getting harder on the sinners as well. As the world goes down farther and farther, their troubles and their trials will increase as well. They will turn to their wicked ways as we turn to our God. This is the time to stand firm and to show them the truth and show them the way unto salvation. Let not the wickedness of this world be an excuse, but an opportunity to push harder and to push further into this world to see people saved. As men get lower, they are more apt to call upon the name of the Lord. That's just how we are. That's how we work. When men get lower and their circumstances get worse and worse, they are more apt to call upon an outward force to save them. This is where we put Jesus in. This is where we show them their true meaning upon this earth. Their true will to live is to praise Jesus Christ. Verse 12. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. This is something that, if we're not careful, we can let slip into our minds. That the Lord forgets wickedness, and especially the shedding of innocent blood. If we were to look at this world, people die every day. Abortions every day. Absolutely innocent blood. They have not even had the opportunity to choose right nor wrong. They are wholly innocent in all manner. They are dying every day. Blood spilled upon this earth. And it's easy for us to say, God does not care. He turns his head. But we must never, never come to that conclusion. We must patiently wait for the destruction of the evildoers. You say, that's kind of harsh. That's justice. That's the way God intended it for it to be. And even not them, but we look over even in what's happening in the Middle East with ISIS, killing of Christians. These are innocent people. They do not deserve the death they receive. The reason they are being killed is for one reason. They stand for Jesus Christ. They will not, we can't. Therefore, they are innocent to the death they receive. God does not turn his head towards this. He knows each and every one that has happened. Each and every one that is killed, he has kept record of it. Not only of him who died, but him who killed him. We can be guaranteed of this, that they will not go unpunished. Every time we hear it over the news, that people are dying just because they will not, we can't. We must take in mind that the Lord knows about this as well. He will not turn his eye to this. He will not look away. I know in our world we see this type of thing happening, and it seems like people do not want to report it. You have to scramble and just push and push and push to get something on the news about it. And when it is, they don't mention Christians specifically. But you can do the research. You can do the look in yourselves. You'll find it. It's there. People are being beheaded daily. They are being crucified again and again, just because they will not turn from Jesus. They say that the Muslims will give them opportunity to live under their rule. This is not so. Muslims give three choices when you come under their realm. We can't, die, or you can live, but you may pay a tax. This tax does not just include money, though. It is basically the surrendering of your rights to the regime. What they do then is normally they will then take all your resources. You will become a slave to their state. They will take your family. Your wives and your children will become slaves, many times ripped away from you. And then, if they cannot find anything else, more than likely you will be killed anyways. More than likely you will be taken up and slaughtered. There is no other option. There is two choices in reality. We can't or die. This is the choice that ISIS gives the Christians. And not only the Christians. There are other smaller religions that are suffering as well. But the majority of them are Christians that suffer for this. They say we can't turn from Jesus Christ. Renounce him as Lord and Savior. Turn to Allah as God only. And you will be spared. That is their choice. When they say no, usually it's immediate. Usually they do not give time to sit in a jail cell and rot or even rethink it or anything. Usually they immediately take you and slaughter you. That's how they work. That's how they do it. We must understand the Lord does not turn a deaf ear to this. He will remember it in the day of judgment. Verses 13 and 14. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest up me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. Once again, cries for mercy against unrighteousness will not go unanswered. But this is not a cry of what we think is injustice, or what we count as unrighteousness. There are many acts of violence upon this earth, many of them, daily that happen. Some of them are absolutely wicked. Some of them are absolutely unrighteous. But there is righteous judgment that carried out upon this earth as well, with civil governments that command capital punishment and absolute righteous cases when it is needful and necessary. These are not the cries for righteous unrighteousness that the Lord is talking about. He is talking about when wickedness happens and nothing is done about it. When wicked killings are happening in these major cities and nothing is done. When people are murdered and slaughtered relentlessly and the civil government does nothing. These are the cries that the Lord will hear. He will hold them accountable. Whether they want to admit it or not, they are in a position that they must be accountable for what happens in their land. These cities, such as Detroit and Chicago, where people are murdered endlessly every day, God will judge them. Not only judge the wicked evil doer, but also the government who did not step in and restrain and then once again take action against these evil doers. We can be guaranteed that the Lord will take judgment upon them as well. But that, once again, this is not unrighteous cries. People who think they have been done injustice, but when they have really not been, and then they cry. These are not the cries the Lord is talking about. These are cries against unrighteous evil acts. I know what we see in Missouri, and it is a terrible tragedy. Whether he was right in shooting the man or not, whether he was right in firing and killing the man or not, it is still a tragedy that that life had to die. We can almost be guaranteed that he went straight to the pits of hell. It's a tragedy. We must never get away from that fact. Yes, they are doing terrible things, and there is no cause. There is no cause for the rioting, for the looting, for the killing, for all the destruction they are doing. But let us also remember that a life has been taken, and that this family does need to be healed about it. But they are going about it in the wrong way. They are seeking justice when there has been no injustice. They are seeking things the ways they should not. They are destroying instead of building up. When a time they could cry for righteous judgment, they go and commit more evils. This is our country. This is the country we live in. These are men who do not want to retain God in their knowledge. They want to turn wholly from God. While there is so much more evil going on in this world, when people are slaughtered daily in masses and over countries, America is eating itself alive over things like this. You have people going in there, stirring people up, all for profit. This is what our country has turned into. While men are dying, while the evil is spreading, while the regimes of these evildoers are building up and they are laughing at us, as while our country and our government is taking such little acts upon people who want to destroy us, their sole intent is to destroy Christianity, to destroy Jews, to bring down the West. But while they are doing this and building up their forces, we are content to squabble about little things in this country, to squabble about the minor things, to not get over things that happen every day. We choose rather to turn a blind eye to the major things and focus on these minor things. The media does it all the time. People are so consumed with this one incident. But what's happening around this world, what is being done to Israel, when was the last time we heard about Israel again? When was the last time we heard about the fighting over there? No, all our attention is turned inwardly to our little squabbles, to our little fightings, to our little cryings and our selfish acts. This is not coincidence. It does not be taken lightly either. This is the working of the devil. He don't want you to know about the things that are happening. He don't want this country to intervene either. America has the power to end what is happening in the Middle East. It wouldn't take long at all. A couple months probably at least, they say. And we could end the destruction and the slaughter that is going on. But no, we'd rather choose to take a back seat. To govern from the back, as our president said. To be a backseat driver, basically. When America has the power to take out these evils, to do what needs to be done. You say America does not need to get involved. Americans are dying over there. We had just recently an American journalist slaughtered, killed, mercilessly. It is our duty of our government to protect the American people. Therefore, we should intervene. We should join in and fight against them. We should demolish them. These are unreasonable and wicked men. They cannot be reasoned with. They cannot be debated. They cannot be taught peace. They don't want peace. Their sole intent is fight. Their sole intent is war. Their whole religion is built upon one thing, violence. That is what their religion is. Their religion is violence. They teach it over and over again. You do just a little research into this. It's disturbing. Children are brought up in ways to fight. Daily, in their schools. This is not something that is taught after school. This is school curriculum. They teach them how to fight. They give them plastic toy weapons. They teach them military actions. They teach them military activities. Little children. It is not their intent to settle for peace. We can be guaranteed that Israel will never have peace as long as these people survive. That is just the way it's going to be. Until our government realizes this, this is the way it's going to be as well. War and fighting until Jesus comes back. 15 and 17. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, and the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hand, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. In the end, the wicked will cause their own destruction. God will cause them to fall by their own snares. If we look at history, and back to the Middle East again, if we look at history, their religion has created the mess they are in now. In many cases, the Muslims over there that are being tortured, there are Muslims themselves who are being slaughtered because they hold to a different sect of Islam. This is true. But they have brought it upon their own selves. Their religion has created this mess and this war that they are in now. By their joining together in the beginning to fight against a common enemy, and joining in this religion against with one man, they have, through history, brought upon themselves destruction. We see it played out in the present day. Over and over again, they have brought their own destructions upon them. They have created their own hell, to put it that way, as the Word of God says it. They shall be turned into hell. They are being every day, and we see it even upon our own nations, our own nation. The seeds we have sown of selfishness and fleshly lusts, these big cities where this stuff has been propagated and pushed and pushed and pushed, live to the flesh. Live to the flesh. Do whatever you want. Disregard authority. Rebel. Now we see the mess we're getting. Now we see the death that is coming every day. It's because they have turned their own selves into hell. They have created their own snare, their own pit. And God has basically said, fine, if you want it, you can have it. If you want to sow this seed, I'll let you reap it. You made the bed, lie in it. And this is what they're getting. People cry out, why and why is this happening? Why the wickedness? Why the evil? It goes back to history. These seeds we have sown. These seeds we put upon ourselves. And now finally the results are coming in. Finally, the results are heading up to us, and we see that in destruction. Verse 18, "For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever." Though it seems like it now, injustices and unrighteousness shall not always continue. Like I said before, God hears the cry of the needy, and He hears the cry of the justice. Every time a man cries out for the injustices committed against him and no judgment falling on them, God hears this cry. God will recompense them for what they have done. Verses 19 and 20. "Arise, O Lord, let no man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men." This is a prayer that God should enact righteous judgment. It is the duty of the Christian to pray such prayers. For God to judge the wicked. Yes. It may hurt our hearts, and our hearts may anguish over this. Because if we have a Christian heart, we don't want to see no man judged to what he should be judged as far as hell is concerned. We don't necessarily want to see men turned into that or go down that road. But if they have given themselves over to it, then it is our duty to pray for righteous judgment to come. Why? That the righteous may prevail. That the righteous might be saved. It is not just for them to take the righteous down on their evil path as well. And it is our duty to pray for deliverance. You might ask throughout all this, what is the righteous to do? If you'll take your Bibles and go to 2 Thessalonians. We'll go to chapter 3. And verse 5. This is Paul praying for the Thessalonian church. He says, "The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." We know that the ultimate judgment will not come and righteousness will not prevail fully until Jesus Christ returns upon this earth. Therefore, Paul prays for this church. He prays that the Lord will direct their hearts into the love of God and into patient waiting for Christ. It is hard for us, I believe it was mentioned in our Sunday school class Sunday, for us to kind of sit back, to take a back seat and let God deal with it, to let God enact righteous judgment. But this is where we must stand. In patient waiting for Christ. We can, in our own realms, where we have authority, where we have the opportunity to speak out, where we have the opportunity to do something, then it is our duty to do it. But where we do not have control, where we do not have control over acts of injustices and unrighteousness, we must patiently wait for Christ to do the judgment. We must stand in faith in Him, and say, "Lord, at thy will." When things go beyond our control, it is no reason to be upset. There is no reason to get anxious about it. Just say, "Lord, at thy will. Whatever you want to do, Lord, it's yours. I have no control here." The Lord, throughout the Bible, commands us where we have authority to do something. In our own lives, He commands us to be faithful. In our own lives, He commands us to put to death the flesh. In our own minds, He commands us to be disciplined, to be patient, to be kind. He commands us to do these things. But where we have no ability, we must say, "Lord, do thy will. Lord, when thou willest. I will wait patiently for you. I will stand firm where I am at. I will not be moved until you come and take control." If you all would please stand. I know it's very easy to, all you gotta do is watch the news. You ain't gotta watch it much even. Just to get plain, outright angry. Just to be absolutely mad and upset. I know, I understand, I do. Where we have authority, like I say, let us do something about it. Election's rolling around again. It will be here before we know it. We can do something. It may not be much. You say people don't want to hear it or people don't want to go that way. So be it. But that's no excuse for us. Let us do what we can. Whenever we have an opportunity to speak out against it, and I'm not just talking about publicly, but on our jobs, in our homes, in Walmart, whenever we can say something to turn the hearts of men from their wickedness, it is our duty to do so. God demands it of us. He wishes it of us. Whenever we have an opportunity to be the salt and preserve, to be the light, to heal, it is our duty to do so. That is the only reason we're upon this earth. I know it may have been a little bit slow tonight, and I do all thank you for all coming and being a part of the service tonight. I really do. I appreciate it. And I thank you for just basically putting up with me. I know I'm learning and I'm growing, and quite frankly, I got big shoes to fill, Brother John. But by God's grace, I want to fill them. And I want to do it for God's glory. And you people are my test church. You're the ones I get to grow up with and grow up in the ministry with. And I thank you all for being faithful and to come in and be an encouragement to us. To me, I very greatly appreciate it. I'd like for us to come and pray. I'd like for us to come and pray for our nation. It is still our duty to pray for our nation. I know it's hard to pray for our government, because sometimes you just want to get angry at them and you just want to say nothing to God about it and just say, God, take them out. I know. But that's not the duty of the Christian. The duty of the Christian is to pray for all men everywhere and to submit to authority. This is our duty. By God's grace, we can do it, and we can do it in a Christian manner, and we can do it to the glorifying of Jesus Christ. Let us come and pray for His grace.